tuned for Lialogos Radio, the weekly radio program featuring the best in Greek music and culture, plus interviews with Greek and international newsmakers. Lialogos Radio with Michael Nevaralekis begins now.
Thank you.
We started off today's broadcast of Diálogos Radio with Eleni Vitali and a song titled Tajia. You're tuned to Diálogos Radio, the weekly Greek radio program which bridges the global Greek community and which airs worldwide on 20 radio stations across 5 continents, shortwave and online. And we would like to welcome our listeners on Radio Begleri, which has become the 20th station to join our growing broadcast network. My name is Michael Navradakis, and today's broadcast is particularly special because it is our final broadcast of the 2014-2015 broadcast season prior to our summer hiatus, and also because we will be ending our broadcast season today with a bang, as the Diálogos interview series will feature an interview with someone who barely needs an introduction, with the world-renowned scholar, author, journalist, analyst, and filmmaker Tariq Ali, who will share his thoughts with us today about the first few months of the Syriza-led coalition government in Greece, its broken promises, the goals of the European Union and the International Monetary Fund, and her behavior towards Greece, and about his upcoming visits to Greece as well. This is a can't-miss interview, and it is coming up in just a couple of moments here on Diálogos Radio. And after our interview, we will feature our Commentary of the Week segment, where we will share our take on the supposed negotiations which continue to take place between the Greek government and the Troika, or the so-called institutions, and the absolutely atrocious proposals put forth by the Syriza coalition government. We will wrap up our 2014-2015 broadcast season with lots of great Greek music as well. Coming up right now, though, is this week's edition of the Diálogos interview series and our interview with scholar and author Tariq Ali here on Diálogos Radio. The Diálogos interview series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Diálogos Radio. Joining us today on Diálogos Radio in the Diálogos interview series for this, the second week of June 2015, is world-renowned journalist, writer, and filmmaker Tariq Ali. Tariq Ali is a member of the editorial committee of the New Left Review and is also a contributor to The Guardian, Counterpunch, and other publications, while he is also the author of such books as The Extreme Center, A Warning, The Obama Syndrome, and A Banker for All Seasons. Tariq, thank you for joining us today.
Very good to be with you.
To get us started, a little over 4 months ago, Syriza was elected into power in Greece, and there was a great deal of hope regarding its promises to reject economic austerity. You had expressed optimism in Syriza prior to the elections, but you have since adopted a more critical stance towards Syriza. How do you evaluate Syriza's first months in office?
Everyone was, of course, hoping that they would be able to do much more. I'm perfectly aware of how difficult the situation is and would be for any party of the left that won an election in any country in Europe today, because they confront powerful and strong enemies who do not wish to have any radical model of politics and economics succeed or even move 2 steps forward. They would rather destroy it, whatever the cost. And I think that is what the EU and, of course, the German leadership, which is the strongest player in the EU, as well as the United States, are attempting to do. The United States plays a soft cop or a less hard cop, and the Germans are playing a hard cop, and they're the ones who are essentially formulating policies. I say this so that there's no misunderstanding. We know what the problems are. We know that there's a big campaign against Syriza within the EU. The way they've been spoken to, the way their leaders have been addressed, is nothing short of disgusting. So why am I critical? My criticism is basically that they should have known that this would be the response of Europe. They've wasted too much time, in my opinion, traveling all over Europe and meeting politicians and prime ministers who never were on their side in the first place, who in many cases, the Holland and France, for example, campaigned against them. And the notion that they could split off, if they really believed it, it was crazy, that they could split off some of the EU countries from the Germans. It didn't happen. It was very unlikely that this would happen. And even, you know, the countries who are facing the wrath of the EU and doing their bidding, they were even more critical, the Portuguese, the Irish, because they've capitulated. Now, what could have been done, and what I argued should have been done, is that the Syriza government, democratically elected with its own program, should have come back from the first round of negotiations and told the people. Now, they say we can't do this because these are confidential meetings. But hell, these are not confidential meetings, because the Financial Times and other newspapers in Europe and elsewhere know exactly what happened. They're getting leaks, and our side hasn't been getting leaks at all. So that was a problem, that they didn't come home and tell the people what was really going on. A second problem, even greater, was that they attempted to pretend that they were making progress. This was not the case. There was very little progress made. Of course, some gains, tiny small gains, were there, that they said that the members of the Troika wouldn't be allowed into Greek government offices to supervise. Everything had to be done through the Greek government, and they would decide what they would do and what they wouldn't do. That was a change from the previous coalition governments. But it wasn't enough. And today we are now at the crossroads in Greece. I fear that I don't think they're going to get their demand. So the choice now is capitulate, surrender, or default and fight back. And they have weakened themselves, if they're going to be forced into doing the latter, by not telling people what has been going on for the last few months. And that is my big criticism and deep worry about the situation in Greece.
We are speaking with author, journalist, and analyst Tariq Ali here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. And Tariq, to expand a little more on some of the issues that you raised, there's many who have held the Greek finance minister Yanis Varoufakis in very high regard for his actions. And yet Varoufakis, in his initial negotiations with the Eurogroup, proposed a continuation of 70% of the previous austerity measures. He has said since then that the lenders, including the IMF and the European Central Bank, will be repaid in full, and he was also part of the committee more recently that selected a former World Bank representative, Elena Panaritis, as the Greek representative to the IMF, while privatizations are also continuing in Greece. What do you make of these actions and these continued policies?
Well, I disagree with them very strongly, especially the privatizations, which people hate. It's money being made. It's a way to make money by using the crisis in Greece. And it was attacked by Syriza during the election campaign, and they pledged that they wouldn't do it. Varoufakis, who I know slightly, is an intelligent economist, but not a great politician. And effectively, he thinks in an extremely narrow-minded way, no strategic vision, which is very sad. I don't agree with any of these measures taken, which you pointed out, and the appointment of this ex-PASOK hackette to the IMF, I think, is a case in point. I think what they're trying to do is move to the center to try and show people, look, we're doing our best, we are nice, moderate people, but still they're crushing us. But I don't think anyone has any doubt about what they're trying to prove inside Greece itself, but the situation now is such that you can't play these games any longer. You have to choose. Surrender if you want, but people will know that. You know, you can say that this was a sort of the only compromise solution we could get, but if it's basically caving into the demands of the EU elite, then it is a surrender. And it's a very, very dangerous move, because what it then shows the rest of Europe is, don't bother participating in elections. Nothing you can do is going to change anything. And that then affects other radical groups in the Mediterranean region and elsewhere. So I, of course, I'm, you know, not at all happy about this.
Now, after over 5 years of austerity in Greece and in other crisis-stricken countries in Europe, it is evident to many that these policies are not working, at least for the economies and the people of these countries. In your opinion, why is there such a continued insistence on the part of the European Union, the German government, and the other so-called institutions to stay the course and to continue pushing further austerity?
I think the reason is political, really, because no serious economist, someone I regard as serious, and I mean bourgeois economists, are saying that this is going to work. In fact, many of them, the Americans particularly, but not just the Americans, even some of the columnists in the Financial Times are saying that this is not going to work at all, that it is proving disastrous, and that a new course is needed. But it's easy to say, and it's correct, but a new course seriously pursued would challenge the fundamentals of neoliberal economics, because what the opponents are proposing is effectively a form of Keynesianism, you know, center Keynesianism or left-wing Keynesianism, but that is all that is being proposed by anyone who is opposed to neoliberalism in Europe today. And for them to permit this would be to accept a defeat. And what they are frightened about is that it would open up a new space for movements and radical currents to emerge, which would challenge them. And they're not prepared to do that. And secondly, they don't care. I mean, you know, these are politicians and bankers who effectively are keen on one thing, which is to preserving and maintaining the level of profits. They don't care a damn if people suffer. You know, that the world, the 20th century world, has changed very drastically in this new century. And they feel no reason. They don't feel threatened by anyone. So unless there was a sort of revolutionary upheaval or a semi-revolutionary upheaval or political insurrections, they will carry on like this. This is why Greece is so important, that, you know, had the Syriza government, it's not too late still, said to the people of Greece, these are the choices on offer, and we are going to push a referendum through, and there'll be one question. Should we stay in the Eurozone at any cost? That's the question you need. If the people say no, if the Eurozone and it, the politicians who control the Euro make impossible demands, then you have the right to leave. At the moment, the 70% of Greeks are opposed to leaving the Eurozone, and that also puts pressure on the government. But there are ways around it. You know, they have to be told very clearly, these are the choices. And we were elected to fight against what is being offered. And we've ended up not in a good position, but now this is what we are proposing to do, A, B, C, D, E. The Europeans seem pretty confident, actually, that Greece will capitulate. I mean, if you look at the German press and the French press, they don't think there's going to be any too much resistance, and that will create a crisis inside Greece itself and within Syriza.
We are on the air with author, journalist, and analyst Tariq Ali here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. And Tariq, in your view, what has the impact of IMF involvement in countries and economies around the world been historically? Has any country, to your knowledge, been able to return to prosperity or to emerge out of an economic crisis with the policies that the IMF has prescribed?
No, on the contrary, it's put these countries in an even worse crisis. It's heightened disparities in wealth. It has led to the, especially since the advent of neoliberal economics, it has led to virtual destruction of the social infrastructure of many, many countries in different parts of the globe. The only continent where they were resisted after having their way for many decades is South America. First, the Argentinians reneged on the debt and reached an agreement to pay a tiny proportion of it. The Venezuelans effectively pushed through a political insurrection via the ballot box and elected a leadership which destroyed, really, politically, the coalition parties that had backed the IMF demands, likewise Bolivia, likewise Ecuador to a certain extent. So the Latin American continent, South America, has succeeded in doing this. Not happened anywhere in Europe. And this is why Syriza in Greece and Podemos in Spain are so important. But the IMF's function is to defend economic orthodoxy, whether it's Keynesianism as it was in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and to a certain extent the early 70s, or if the overall conception of what needs to be done changes in Washington, and then a new consensus is established, which says that the way forward is neoliberalism, privatizations, the entry of private capital into the most hallowed domains of social provision, then that is what they push. They never do anything that is in the interests of the countries to whom they are lending money. I mean, Greece is a case in point.
In 2010, you wrote a book titled The Obama Syndrome, which critiqued the Obama administration for such things as bringing the architects of the global financial meltdown into the White House, for continuing the so-called War of Terror, and for continuing the Bush administration's tax cuts for the wealthy. Do you see any parallels between Obama and Syriza in its first few months in terms of the hope that they promised to the voters and the actions which they followed?
No, I don't. And I think it's foolish to compare Tsipras to Obama. I mean, Obama is the leader of the world's only imperialist power. He belongs to a party which has exercised imperial power for many decades. He works with the largest army in the world. And I never thought that Obama's promises, which were, you know, largely PR confections, added up to much. So I don't think we should go over the top and begin comparing Tsipras to Obama. There's no comparison at all. You know, Obama was a guy who was very effective as a politician. He managed to get himself elected, but most of what he promised was pretty vapid. And the health bill, which he finally pushed through, was done with the backing of the insurance companies and the pharmaceuticals. It's true that it might have improved, or possibly could improve, conditions for some people, but you know, the jury is still out on that. Apart from that, he's done absolutely nothing that Bush wouldn't be proud of. And this is a a sort of Tweedledum Tweedledee politics, which has characterized the United States now for nearly a century. So it's a very, very different operation. Syriza is a radical party composed of various parts of the left, a coalition where there's debate, and where at the last Central Committee meeting, a left platform won 44% of the vote. So there's no comparison at all.
We are speaking with author, journalist, and analyst Tariq Ali here on Dialogos Radio and a Dialogos interview series. And Tariq, as far as the European Union is concerned, we've seen recently the electoral victory of the Conservatives in the United Kingdom and their ambivalence toward the European Union. We've seen the rise of far-right parties in much of Europe. We've seen also the EU's harsh stance on the immigration issue, and of course, its continued inflexibility when it comes to Greece and other crisis-hit countries when it comes to the austerity measures being enforced. What do you believe the future of the so-called European dream will be? And do you believe that the EU even has a future?
Well, the big problem, I think, is, and here the left, by and large, all over Europe, is very confused on this issue, in my opinion, which is one reason why people are going to the far-right parties in some countries. I feel that while we're all internationalists, and while a radical European Union or a social union that helps each other is something very desirable, what we have got instead is a machine for financialization of capital, for defending exclusively the interests of the wealthy, and of punishing those who try and break out from the system and using the euro to effectively create a system, a new colonial system, where lots of small countries have no sovereignty at all. The Balkan states, minus Serbia, which has not yet been allowed in, are very indicative of this crisis. The island is, Portugal is, to a certain extent, some of the less important countries are now themselves under huge pressure to privatize and to push through what they laughably call reforms. But what they really are talking about is regressive measures to take more and more rights, social rights, away from the working class and from the less privileged sections of the population, in the interests of the bankers and the hedge fund owners and the billionaires. This is what the European Union has become, a machine to enhance the grip of capital over politics. And as a result, democracy itself is now under threat. And the European Union, in my view, has become a deeply reactionary institution. This is now very clear. And they're scared of allowing people to vote. This is very interesting. A Guardian columnist who used to work for Le Monde the other day said that, you know, the danger of having a referendum in Britain is that the French might demand one too. Well, the French did demand one on the constitution and rejected it, despite the fact that the entire media was in favor of it. So we will see what happens. My own opinion is that I certainly will not be voting in favor of the European Union. I mean, I think for anyone on the left to do this, given that we now have a record of how this union has functioned, what this union is, total lack of democracy in it, and effectively powers exercised by three or four countries. Why should we tolerate this any longer? I mean, I see it as the left's internationalist duty towards Greece and other countries to break the link and say we are not in favor of this Europe. That is what I think the left should do. As far as the European Union itself is concerned, if you look at how the Germans have dealt with Greece, my feeling is they want Greece out. And they're not that bothered if Britain, the British electorate, votes to quit Europe. I'm not sure that will happen, by the way, but they're not that bothered because they can still carry on doing economic deals, do deals on another level. And at the same time, it will give them the opportunity to restructure the union, which will probably reduce the standing even more of the small countries who were flooded into the European Union with the US and UK backing to prevent the Germans from getting too strong. What's going on now, I think, is that there is a great deal of discussion and debate within the German elite as to what is the best way to restructure the European Union. So they are not that bothered. That's my reading of the situation.
You mentioned your proposal earlier of a referendum being held in Greece regarding the issue of staying within a eurozone or departing from the eurozone. What else do you believe Greece should do in order to get out of the crisis in this cycle of austerity? And what do you believe the Greek people should do to hold their government accountable?
Well, I think the Greek people, you know, the government is very popular. We shouldn't have any doubt about that. Tsipras is the most popular politician in the country. His ratings are very high. These are hard facts and realities that one has got to deal with and which the government is facing. You know, I mean, they know that there's big support for the eurozone, and they haven't, for that reason, even thought of a serious plan B or an alternative. They're stuck in this crisis. What should they do? I think it's very clear now that the demands being put on Greece by the EU and the IMF are unacceptable. And I think that the Greek leadership Tsipras in particular, should broadcast to the nation, should travel the country telling people this is what's going on, this is how far we've been prepared to go. He can use their weaknesses. This is how far we've been prepared to go. They won't accept it and they want to crush us. So the only choice now we have, serious choice, is to default and create a new currency for inside Greece while retaining the euro as a trading currency. That is what we're about to do, and we need your support to do this. Now, I don't know whether this is going to happen. They might be forced to do it in the worst possible circumstances without any preparation at all, but we shall see.
We are on the air with author, journalist, and analyst Tariq Ali here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos Interview Series. And Tariq, in closing, please share with our listeners a few words about your upcoming visit to Greece as part of the Resistance Festival.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, I go to Greece quite regularly, let me say, and have been doing so for the last 10 years. You know, made many trips, had many friends, in contact with many groups. Last year, I went and did the Syriza Youth Congress, the festival. I spoke with Tsipras and other comrades on the platform. So I know the country well, and I'm really looking forward to going there now in this situation of crisis and not just talking to them, but actually discussing with them as to how we can all move forward. Because have no doubt about it, what happens in Greece is extremely important for progressive forces in the rest of Europe. So I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to another conference I'm going to in Athens in July. So I have two events which will give one, you know, an opportunity to see on the ground what's going on. And by that time, I think some decision will have been made. So we shall see.
Tariq, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos Interview Series.
Okay, thank you very much.
Attention iTunes users, the Dialogos Radio is now just a click away. You can now download our podcasts and listen to the Dialogos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere. Check us out today in the iTunes podcast directory and in iTunes Radio. We just wrapped up this week's edition of the Dialogos Interview Series here on the Dialogos Radio, where we spoke with author, journalist, and scholar Tariq Ali. As with all of our interviews, the podcast of this interview will soon be available on our website, dialogosmedia.org, where you can also find our on-demand programming, our articles and written work, our past playlists, our commentaries, and listen to our online radio station, Dialogos Radio 24/7. Our podcasts are also available in the official Dialogos Radio apps for Android, Kindle, and BlackBerry devices, and for Google Chrome, and in iTunes, TuneIn.com, the Windows Store, and the Nobex Radio, WeCast, Player FM, and Stitcher apps for various smartphones. Coming up now here on the Dialogos Radio is some great Greek music, and that will be followed up by our commentary of the week. Thank you. Diálogos Radio 24/7, our online radio station which features the best mix of great Greek music, plus programming and interviews from the vast Diálogos Radio archive. Tune in through our website, dialogosmedia.org, in iTunes Radio, or at tunein.com. This is Diálogos Radio, where we just heard Keti Huamata with the remix of her classic song Mi Agapi Ya To Kalokeri. Coming up next is our commentary of the week. Diálogos Radio's commentary of the week. Each week, Michael Navratakis provides views and opinions on issues pertaining to Greece and to the worldwide Greek community. Coming up next, here on Diálogos Radio. If one were to believe the media and the pro series of sycophants which seem to be everywhere nowadays, then it would be under the impression that Greece finally has a government which is standing up for the country and its people, which is saying no to austerity and to the demands of the Troika, and which is rapidly changing politics, society, and the economy in Greece. One look at the Syriza government's own proposals to the so-called Troika, or institutions though, might disavow you of such notions. This 47-page document put forth by the Greek government includes proposals for the full repayment of Greece's debt, for the maintenance of ever-increasing primary budget surpluses, more taxes, and many more privatizations continuing past the year 2020. It contains absolutely nothing of the government's pre-election promises, pledges, and commitments. It contains primary budget surpluses, which would inevitably mean more austerity for Greece and for the Greek people. Absolutely no negotiation has taken place, despite the PR show being put on by Syriza, with the complicity of the European institutions in the IMF. Even celebrity finance minister Yanis Varoufakis, in a recent television appearance, admitted that negotiation isn't actually taking place. To further back us up, one needs to look no further than the statements made by Greek government spokesperson Gabriel Sakellaridis earlier in the week, when he stated that Syriza's 47-page proposal does not contain any of its pre-election promises, nor does it include anything from its Thessaloniki policy program from this past September. Syriza member of the parliament Alexis Mitropoulos recently added that the parliament will be asked to essentially vote for a third memorandum. Another PR stunt was the government postponing its June 5th payment to the IMF. Much of the Greek and international press reported this in one of two ways, as essentially a Greek default, or as a heroic move by the Syriza government to stand up to the IMF by refusing to pay. Neither of these narratives is actually correct. All that the government actually did was agree to bundle its payments to the IMF at the end of the month, nothing more, nothing less. And there is no reason to believe that Syriza won't pay, not after it passed a presidential decree, something which before the elections it said it would not do, in order to plunder the cash reserves of the public sector, including pension and insurance funds, schools and hospitals, in order to make its payments to the IMF in April and May. For those still in doubt, when Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras was asked about this on June 4th, he said, "Don't worry, we already paid 7.5 billion euros to the IMF." What Tsipras, the rest of Syriza, and most journalists refuse to talk about, however, is that according to the IMF's own data, dozens of countries have repeatedly missed their payments to the IMF over the years and continue to do so today. It also bears importance to remind everyone that the IMF has made 2.5 billion euros in profit from the so-called bailout of Greece since 2010, with at least 92% of that money going right back to German and French and other banks. While all of this is taking place, we have the celebrity finance minister Varoufakis playing a masterful game of doublespeak, saying that Greece and the Greek people cannot accept any more austerity, and then going ahead and proposing just that, while repeatedly stating that Greece's debt will be repaid in full and in perpetuity. As if that wasn't brazen enough, however, Varoufakis, in a recent published piece of his, suggested that German Chancellor Angela Merkel should come to Greece to deliver a speech of hope to the Greek people. The same Merkel that has been one of the staunchest cheerleaders of harsh, inhuman austerity towards Greece and the Greek people. This should come as no surprise, though. Varoufakis is one of a trio of Syriza politicians who recently selected elected Elena Panaritis as Greece's representative to the IMF, the same Elena Panaritis who once stated in an interview with The Guardian, and while she was an elected member of the Greek parliament, that she's American and not Greek. The same Panaritis who was a member of PASOK and in parliament from 2009 to 2012, voting for the first memorandum and its various laws. The same Panaritis that is infamous for her role in Peru's destructive Fujishock policies, which led millions of Peruvians into poverty, which privatized hundreds of thousands of properties in a country, and eliminated the communal lands of Peru's indigenous population, and which was done with the collaboration of government whose president now finds himself in jail for human rights violations and the use of death squads. I'm talking about none other than Alberto Fujimori. In her written work, Panaritis has called this the miracle of Peru, and this was the person that was the choice of the heroic and brilliant Varoufakis to represent Greece in the IMF. The reality is that Tsipras, Varoufakis, and the rest of their crew are absolutely married to Europe and to the so-called European dream. It helps to remember, though, that some dreams are in fact nightmares, and a European dream is one such nightmare for Greece. There is no hope for Greece while remaining in the European Union, which is a totalitarian, undemocratic institution founded in part by ex-Nazis in the 1950s, in which key positions are not only not elected, but invariably seem to be held by figures from certain countries such as Germany and Holland, and where there is no democratic debate or desire for democratic debate. On June 10th, for instance, the European Parliament decided not to hold a debate on the proposed transatlantic trade and investment partnership, which has been negotiated in almost complete secrecy with the United States. While recently, EU Trade Commissioner Cecilia Malmström stated, "I do not take my mandate from the European people." Just as there is no hope within the European Union for Greece, there is also no hope for any government which is stubbornly fixated on remaining in the Euro and in the EU. The Syriza government has done a fine job fooling the people, though, and in putting on a facade of standing up for Greece, while increasingly displaying its true colors. After, for instance, Syriza's youth wing called for the resignation of Citizen Protection Minister Yanis Panousis for continuing to enforce the same brutal police policies as his predecessor, the Greek government spokesperson Gabriel Sakellaridis said that the government will not concern itself with such demands. Whereas the site of the former Athens International Airport was once slated to become Europe's largest urban park, Syriza has now proposed turning part of it into a waste management site and privatizing the rest. Even a supposed reopening of public broadcaster ERT is a smokescreen, as the new ERT is based on the law which established the operation of its replacement broadcaster NERIT, while ERT will bring back many faces from its corrupt old guard and will not operate independently of government interference and intervention. This is the same Syriza government which has kept the mastermind of the falsification of Greece's economic statistics, former IMF employee Andreas Georgiou, as the head of the Greek Statistical Authority, despite the criminal charges that have been pending against him for over 2 years, over the allegations that he worsened Greece's debt and deficit figures in order to provide the impetus for Greece to be dragged under Troika supervision. Apologists for the Syriza government and for neoliberal politics keep saying that Syriza has no choice, that there is no alternative, as Margaret Thatcher once said. And yet, there are people in governments who have done something about it, such as Iceland, which emerged from its own financial meltdown by letting banks fail, jailing the bankers who were responsible, and imposing temporary capital controls, while in Italy, Beppe Grillo, the leader of the Five Star Movement, has collected 200,000 signatures in calling for a nationwide referendum on whether Italy should remain in the Eurozone or not. In Greece, though, what we hear ad nauseum is that we must remain in Europe. We keep hearing that the public opinion polls state that 70-80% of Greeks wish to remain in the Euro. This propaganda is so good and so effective that even notable international figures such as Tariq Ali, whom we interviewed this week, unfortunately are duped, because these figures get repeated again and again by one media outlet after another. No one, however, points out that there are no independent polling firms in Greece, and that all of these opinion surveys are conducted on behalf of corrupt, pro-Euro, pro-austerity media outlets and are tailored to their liking. Two recent polls, however, which were conducted by non-Greek polling firms, meaning firms that do not have any domestic agenda or interests, tell a different story, that 52-53% of Greeks desire an exit from the Eurozone and a return to a national currency. But of course you won't read this in the New York Times, or The Guardian, or the BBC, and you certainly won't hear this from Syriza, a government which is not leftist, not negotiating, not radical, and certainly not challenging austerity. Take Dialogos Radio on the go with you with the new Dialogos Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to Dialogos Radio and Dialogos Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles, all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store. Dialogosmedia.org, our website which brings you the latest news from Dialogos Radio, live streaming of Dialogos Radio 24/7, podcasts, on-demand programming, and much more. Visit us today at Dialogosmedia.org. That was our commentary of the week here on the season finale of Dialogos Radio, and coming up next is some great Greek music. Keep it locked in.
Ότι αρχίζει ωραίο τελειώνει με πόνο. Οι πικραμένες καρδιές το ξέρουνε μόνο. Είναι κακός δυνάμω να κρίζεις παράκα. Ο μοριάς θα τα
στο ταβερνάκι εκεί που πίναμε και απόψε να το πιούμε για τελευταία πια φορά να θυμηθούμε μια και το θες να χωριστούμε κι ύστερα αγάπη μου θα φύγω ευτυχισμένος από το κρασί και από τα φιλιά σου μεθυσμένος και δε θα ξαναειδωθούμε πα παρα τουρουρουρου. Ο χωρισμός σου, αγάπη μου, απόψε με φοβίζει. Μα όποιος ξέρει να αγαπά, ξέρει και να χωρίζει. Τελευταίο μου τσιγάρο θέλω μαζί σου να φουμαρώ. Απόψε θέλω στο πρωί να σε γλεντήσω και την αγάπη την παλιά να σου θυμίσω. Το παρελθόν να σου ξυπνήσω. Ύστερα αγάπη μου θα φύγω από κοντά σου και στο εξής δεν θα με δεις ποτέ μπροστά σου και δεν θα σε ξαναενοχλήσω. Ο χωρισμός σου αγάπη μου απόψε με φοβίζει. Μα όποιος ξέρει να αγαπά ξέρει και να χωρίζει. Ο χωρισμός σου αγάπη μου απόψε με φοβίζει. Μα όποιος ξέρει να αγαπά ξέρει και να χωρίζει. Πα-πα-παρα του-ρου-ρου-ρου-ρου. Πα-πα-παρα του-ρου-ρου-ρου-ρου.
The long and corrupt history of lawlessness, patronage, and censorship in the Greek media is revealed in our new series of investigative articles. Visit dialogosmedia.org today to read our investigative series and to learn more about the long-standing state of corruption and censorship in Greece's media, as well as the worsening conditions for freedom of speech and the press. Head on over to dialogosmedia.org today to read our articles and to get more of the hard-hitting journalism you've come to expect from Dialogos Media. Follow Dialogos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/dialogosmedia and at twitter.com/dialogosmedia. Take Dialogos Radio on the go with you with the new Dialogos Radio app for Kindle devices. Now you can listen to our podcasts, our on-demand broadcasts, and Dialogos Radio 24/7, read all of our latest news and announcements plus our articles, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter all in one great new app. The official Dialogos Radio app for Amazon Kindle devices, available now in the Amazon Marketplace. We just heard Manolis Lilakis with the song titled Το Τελευταίο Ποτηράκι here on Dialogos Radio, while right before that we heard Ierasimos Andreatos singing Ότι Αρχίζει Ωραίο. Today's broadcast of Dialogos Radio is just about ready to come to a close, and with that, our 2014-2015 broadcast season will come to a close as well. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank everyone who supported Dialogos Radio again this broadcast season. A big thank you to the small Dialogos Radio volunteer staff. A big thank you to Kostadinos Papatheodosiu and a Star Radio Network in Greece, the eroi.gr web radio station, to all of the stations in our growing broadcast network, which reached 20 stations this year. Thank you to Truthout and GreekTV.com for publishing our articles and interviews so regularly. Thank you to all of our guests and interviewees who have appeared on the Dialogos Radio these past several months. And most of all, a big thank you to all of our listeners and supporters all across the world, including those who contributed to our fall fund drive a few months back, and everyone who is in touch with us and who has shared their thoughts and suggestions and feedback with us during this time. Even though we won't be producing new programming this summer, we will continue to publish articles and interviews in Truthout and elsewhere, just like our recently published interview with scholar and author Mark Crispin Miller in Truthout, and with Thanasis Gounaris of the Pirate Party of Greece, which was published in GreekTV.com. You can find the links to these and all of our articles and published interviews on our website, dialogosmedia.org, where you can also find all of our podcasts, our on-demand programming, our weekly commentaries, and listen to Dialogos Radio 27 online anytime, anywhere, all throughout the summer. This summer, we will also be working on renewing our mobile apps, and we will work on more surprises, which we will have in store for you by the time we return in September. Before closing out today's broadcast and this broadcast season, one final thought. It is certain that Greece will remain in the forefront of current events over this coming summer. It is difficult to predict what exactly will happen in the upcoming weeks and months, but one thing is certain, that the so-called journalism and reporting provided by most of the mainstream media outlets in Greece and across the globe with regards to the economic and political situation in Greece are not trustworthy or reputable at all. I would like to call upon our listeners to maintain a critical stance toward the media and to perform your own research to determine whether or not what you're hearing and reading and seeing is indeed true, and to discover historical facts that may provide a context to what is taking place today. Unfortunately, most journalists and correspondents who are reporting on Greece are not only not telling the truth, but I would dare to say that their reporting serves the needs of certain agendas or interests which are in no way friendly towards Greece and its people. The same can also be said of those who are governing Greece, who are very good at making themselves look like saviors when in fact they are doing a great job of selling out Greece and the Greek people just like their predecessors did. Our hope, though, is that when we do return to the airwaves in September, that we will have more positive and optimistic things to discuss here on the Alagos Radio. We will close out today's program and a broadcast season with one final song, with Fatme and a song titled Kalokeraki. From all of us, best wishes for a great summer, and we look forward to being back with you this September here on the Alagos Radio.
Το καλοκαιράκι στην ακρογιαλιά, μέσα στο νεράκι πλέουμε αγκαλιά. Πέφτει το βραδάκι, πιάνει η δροσιά. Δώσ' μου ένα φυλάκι και έλα πιο κοντά.
Εγώ κι εσύ, εσύ κι εγώ, μόνοι πάνω στη γη. Μόνοι στη γη. Εγώ κι εσύ, εσύ κι εγώ, μόνοι πάνω στη γη. Μόνοι στη γη. Ήταν η Αθήνα, όμως το λαιμό, με φως και ρουτίνα και άγχος τρομερό.
Δώσ' μου ένα τσιγάρο, δώσ' μου και φωτιά. Θεέ μου θα σε πάρω στην καυτή την αμμουδιά.
Εγώ κι εσύ, εσύ κι εγώ, μόνοι πάνω στη γη. Μόνοι στη γη. Εγώ κι εσύ, εσύ κι εγώ, μόνοι πάνω στη γη. Μόνοι στη γη.
Τηλέφωνο χτυπάει, βουλιάζει το νησί και το όνειρο σκορπάει στο γραφείο τη βουή.
Μετάβω μη δορμένος, δουλεύεις και γελάς. Σ' ακούω σαν χαμένος, το ρεφρέν να τραγουδάς.
Εγώ κι εσύ, εσύ κι εγώ, μόνοι πάνω στη γη. Μόνοι στη γη. Εγώ κι εσύ, εσύ κι εγώ, μόνοι πάνω στη γη. Μόνοι στη γη. Εγώ κι εσύ, εσύ κι εγώ, μόνοι πάνω στη γη. Μόνοι στη γη. Εγώ κι εσύ, εσύ κι εγώ.